can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, well, well. Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join us as we dissect the latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Movie Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Heidi, and I'm joined by the beautiful Ariane.
Oh, thank you. Hi.
You're very welcome. Today, I am excited because the holidays are coming up, and we are talking about Christmas movies. I love Christmas movies, and I feel like, you know, maybe you're saying like, oh, Heidi, that's not very inclusive. I feel like generally, even if you don't celebrate Christmas, everyone watches Christmas movies.
Right.
And if you don't, they're just on TV all the time.
So
and
you'll
probably go to a Christmas party where someone watches at least like Elf or something.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
And I also, I do want to say, I have heard that the Hallmark Channel will be making two movies next year with all their Christmas movies that are about Hanukkah.
Oh, yay!
So I feel like, oh, well, that's different. That's good for them.
Yeah. Hallmark films a lot of their movies in Utah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A lot of them are filmed in Canada, too.
Yeah. Vancouver,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. 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 I learned a lot about Hallmark movies when looking into this, because I am not that type of person, but I learned it all for you guys. So I will bless you all with my knowledge.
Yay!
And as I've mentioned, I'm sure everyone has kind of seen a Christmas movie of some kind or been around them, seen them on their, you know, grandparents' TV. Christmas movies are kind of like comforting for a lot of people, you know, because it signifies the time, like the season, and, you know, maybe a weather change or just like a time to get a Christmas tree or a time to just start celebrating. And a lot of families actually have like Christmas movies that they watch every year around the holidays or like multiple times a year.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a really big family tradition, or people who will always watch Hallmark films or, I don't know, always watch Die Hard or something.
Whatever
the Christmas film is.
Or they just like to watch them because it's better than their own families.
Yeah, well, sometimes people, like, if you have, like, an awkward family situation, you just go to the TV room and watch it with the kids or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. Or watch a holiday movie and not go to the families and be like, oh, that was my family.
Yeah, just feel part of the season.
Exactly.
That does happen. And I, for this podcast, have spent all of my countless hours going through and making categories of Christmas films. I would say expertly put together, if I do say so myself.
They are.
Oh, thank you very much. I went through
that.
A lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Googling. And I am very happy to talk about them because I have a couple different categories. The first category is one that I will kind of just like say is the classics.
Right.
And for me, this is Home Alone, like Home Alone 1 and 2, A Christmas Story, The Grinch, all of its variations.
Right.
Maybe the new Grinch will also come into this.
Right. We'll see.
We'll see. Like White Christmas, It's a Wonderful Life, you know, like the classics that a lot of people watch.
I can agree there.
Yeah. I feel like that's something that everyone kind of knows.
I think I've always watched Home Alone. Just the first two.
Just
the third
first
one
two.
Was worth
it. Oh, I'll see. Yeah. So the first two, I would say all the ones after that are really not worth your time.
Yeah, they're really
not.
My
expert opinion. Because Macaulay Culkin only does the first two,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's hard to watch the other ones with him not in it. Because he did such a really good job in the first two.
I know. Kid.
But anyway, yeah, I used to watch them a lot.
Yeah, I would say I actually prefer the second one over the first one.
Yeah.
Just because I like the New York scenes, but, you know. I think that's a classic, or my family would watch A Christmas Story a fair amount. I actually don't like A Christmas Story that much.
It's long.
It's very long, and I don't think it's that funny.
No, it's not.
No.
It's like back in the day, like stupid dad joke funny.
Right, I agree. And I don't think the dad is that funny.
No.
I just think he's kind of like a bad dad.
Yeah. And the little kids are irritated. Like if there were little kids around me that were like that, I would have probably backhanded them like a few times.
Right. And so I don't want to watch that kind of behavior.
Yeah. And it's stupid. Like when that's the one where the little kid gets his tongue stuck to the.
Yeah. He goes and licks like the frozen pole.
I would have left him there. I'd have been like, you know what? You deserve that.
I mean, the kids did leave him there for a long time.
Should have been smarter about the situation, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, that movie, though, did teach me not to do that.
Right.
Not, I mean, I live in California. It's not like that's a real problem, right. You know? But right. I was like, if I ever go to the snow, I'm never going to lick a metal pole.
No. But you get that with ice cubes, too. Like,
oh,
if you
that's
put a,
true. So but an ice cube melts, though.
Yeah. Hmm. But you licked a icy pole. You're dumb. Sorry.
Yeah. Don't do that. Very bad move. Yeah. So that's the first category is like the classics. And then we have the other category. I'm just going to go through them all and we'll come back. Children's films, a lot of them are like animated or like claymation, you know?
Right.
Then there are like funny or I would almost say like irreverent. Some of them can be kind of like adult Christmas films. Like I would say Elf is a funny one a little bit more than a kid's film. Elf right. is like my favorite Christmas movie. But then there are some like other funny ones that are a little more like adultish, kind of like Bad Santa. Things like that.
Yeah.
And then there are like the heartwarming, cheesy kind of like Hallmark movies and Lifetime.
Right.
And then there's also like the other category, which I would also connect in like action, which is like your Die Hard type of things.
Yeah.
Or kind of like in the other category, kind of like While You Were Sleeping. Some people consider that a Christmas film or like The Holiday or mm-hmm. Love Actually, which I guess you could also say go into heartwarming. Although I would argue Love Actually is not super heartwarming, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
So those are my main categories, and then I just want to go in and talk about a few movies in each category. So the first category that I want to talk about is the children's film category. This, to me, is the one that I remember the most because I watched the most Christmas movies when I was a kid.
Right. I think we all did.
Oh, yeah. Also because when you're an adult, you have to, like, do things like wrap gifts and, like, make Christmas dinner.
Right.
When you're a kid, you know, your parents are busy, so you're just in your PJs
Seriously.
Watching
Lounging
Christmas
around.
Films.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, I definitely always remember Christmas by, like, you know, family would come over in the evening. But before that, there would be all the reruns of Christmas movies on TV.
Right.
Like, all of the cartoons that are just on, like, Nickelodeon and stuff. And a lot of the ones that I really remember are, like, the sort of, like, claymation stop motion ones.
Right.
Also, I did learn that a lot of claymation movies are actually with puppets and not clay. Which was a little sad for me because I like the idea of claymation. But that's okay. Some of the ones that I'm thinking of are like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. There's one that I had never seen, which is Nestor the Long-Eared Christmas Donkey.
I've never even heard of that.
I hadn't either. Jack Frost. There's Rudolph's Shiny New Year, A Year Without Santa Claus. They're old. They're like from like the 70s.
Yeah. They're classic.
Yeah, real classic. And yeah. None of them are over. I think maybe one of them might be over 2 hours, but
yeah.
They're all like a little bit shorter, I feel like. Mm. You might find them kind of creepy now. I did see a BuzzFeed article about how some of them are creepy,
yeah.
Which I could see that looking back. But as a kid, I liked them.
Yeah, Rudolph was fun.
Yeah, I think so.
I liked Frosty the Snowman, too. But that wasn't a claymation. That was like more of a cartoon.
Yeah, they do have a cartoon.
Fun. Yeah.
He doesn't have a claymation one. I thought he had a claymation and an animated one.
If he has a claymation, I've never seen it. I always just watched the cartoon one.
And then there are some more modern, like kids ones, like the Polar Express. We have talked about on the podcast, the Nutcracker and the Seven Realms.
Yeah. I'm going to see the Nutcracker. Not that one. Not the Seven Realms. But the regular Nutcracker.
Oh, yeah. Regular Nutcracker, which I would say is like a kid's kind of film, depending on how it's presented.
Yeah.
Because if you see it like live, like on stage, I feel like kids may not be down.
Right. But I don't think I would want to, though.
Yeah? No? You're not a Nutcracker on the stage person?
Well, that's where I'm going to see with my daughter.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not a fan of ballet.
Oh.
So she just wanted to go. So yeah. I'm like, I'll take you because there's nobody else to take you.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
You're being good, though. You're taking her.
Yeah.
And then there's also like A Christmas Carol, Jack Frost, as you've mentioned. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Frosty. There's also
Frosty.
Jack Frost, which I feel like is also like an animated cartoon, kind of like Frosty.
There was a new Jack Frost. Maybe it wasn't new, but it was like within the past decade new.
Oh, that one was with Steve Allen, right?
I don't know, but he had like a staff and he was like,
oh,
I
think there are probably a lot of Jack Frost versions.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the one, I want to say this has Steve Allen, but it's like he becomes a snowman.
No, it's a different one.
Different one? Okay.
Yeah. It's more like, I don't know how to describe it. All I remember is he would hook up perfect with Elsa. Don't ask me why I thought that. But it was a cute combination. I was like, oh, there's her husband. She found
him. Would say Frozen can be considered a Christmas film as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, because of the winter time.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, the Santa Claus, if we're talking about Steve Allen, I loved the Santa Claus series when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I had a crush on one of the elves. That was, like, my first, like, movie crush when I was a child. Which is very embarrassing now. One of the films that I wanted to focus on in this category is a cartoon called Peace on Earth. And it was one that I had seen kind of when it was just in the mix of late night Christmas reruns that I just saw as a kid because, like, my parents weren't paying attention. I don't know what they were doing. But I remember this film because it was kind of like, it was like poignant, but it was short. So I remember most scenes of it. And it was actually nominated in 1938. Well, okay, it was apparently nominated in 1938 for a Nobel Peace Prize.
Wow.
Which apparently there is not record of the nomination, but people have, like, talked about it and said that it happened. But I think it was, like, the only cartoon to be nominated for a Peace Prize.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool. So that was in 1938, and then they made a remake of it in 1955. It is a Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer cartoon short. It is, like, only 9 minutes long.
Oh, wow, okay.
And it was nominated for the 1939 Academy Awards for short subjects or, like, cartoons.
Right.
And I had seen the earliest version when I was a kid, and then I later watched the 1955 version. But it is a cartoon, and it's kind of in, like, really early style, like Snow White or, like, old, I don't know, like, old, like, Mickey cartoons.
Yeah.
It's kind of in that style. And what happens in the 1939 version is it's all about animals. It's all cartoon animals. And there are, like, two young squirrels that ask their grandfather squirrel on Christmas Eve who the men are in the lyric, "Peace on Earth, Goodwill to Men." And the grandfather squirrel then, like, tells them the history of the human race. And in this movie version, the history of the human race is basically a never-ending war that men waged against each other. And ultimately, the wars do end with the death of deaths of the last men on Earth, which is two soldiers shooting at each other, and one shoots the other soldier, and then the injured soldier shoots that one, and then they both die.
Wow!
And it's like the end of men.
Okay.
And then afterwards, the surviving animals discover a copy of a book, which is basically implied to be the Bible. And they're inspired by the teachings to, like, rebuild society dedicated to peace and nonviolence.
So they could read the book?
Yeah, apparently. I've never seen this. I mean, they're also wearing clothes, so.
Okay, okay.
I don't know.
They're very advanced.
They are. I mean, there was a war. Who knows what happened?
I know, right.
The cartoon features a song, which is kind of written to, like, the tune of, like, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Okay.
And I watched this again. You can watch it on Daily Motion. Just like a website online, or you could just Google it, you'll find it. I remember it, I think, because the idea of, like, a never-ending war is something that sticks into the mind of a child. And because it was, like, kind of scary. Like, it shows, like, some scenes of war. There's no, like, blood or anything, but it shows, like, you know, soldiers with, like, gas masks and stuff.
Sure.
And I thought it was really frightening as a kid, and it really stuck with me.
I feel like we're already in a never-ending war. Like, how long have we been at war with Iraq or Iran, like the Middle East? Syria?
Oh, God, I don't even know anymore. Know.
Right? It's never ending.
I know. Gosh. It does feel like that. Anyway, before we finish up this movie and before we take a break, I just want to mention a offer right now that is going on with Audible. And as the holiday season comes around, because obviously we're talking about Christmas films, this is a great time to start getting into gifts for those around you and also for yourself. And if you're interested, right now there is a limited time. You can get 3 months of Audible for just $6.95 a month, which is more than half off the regular price. And if you want to get in on this deal, you can go to audible.com/GSMCMovie or text GSMCMovie to 500-500. Again, that is audible.com/GSMCMovie or text GSMCMovie to 500-500. And we are going to take a break, and then we will be right back.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is 4-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Brought to you by Washington Target Zero.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the GSMC Movie Podcast. We are continuing to talk about Christmas films. Also, I just wanted to correct myself that before the break, I said I mentioned the movie Jack Frost, which actually stars Michael Keaton. And in that movie, he becomes a snowman, yeah. Which is kind of weird. But there are other versions of Jack Frost, too, like the one Ariane was mentioning, which is a more updated cartoon style of Jack Frost. And I will say, if you see him, he does look like he could date Elsa.
Yeah.
He just does. It's like the same animation style. Right. It's kind of weird.
They're like perfect. Almost too perfect to where it's like you guys could be related, but not really quite that far. It's like, oh, he'd be your perfect husband.
I'd be surprised if there's not like a crossover, you know?
I know, right? I'm setting up like cartoon characters. They don't even exist. I need help.
It's okay. It's okay. Also, I mentioned the movie The Santa Claus, which stars Tim Allen. I misspoke earlier. But again, as I said before, I really do like the Santa Claus series because it's, I don't know, it's just nostalgic for me,
right,
like many
cute
Christmas films are.
Yeah.
So we were talking about the film Peace on Earth, and I mentioned it was in 1939. There is also another version of Peace on Earth because the movie was remade in 1955, mm-hmm. and this is a post-World War II version of the film, and it was entitled Goodwill to Men, and it had updated forms of warfare, basically.
Right.
So then, like, earlier in the 1939 version, it's just like guns and stuff like that, but then and like bayonets, and then in the 1955 version they also include like flamethrowers, bazookas, missiles, and nuclear weapons too.
Wow.
it's that was also very scary. I watched that one too, which you can find on YouTube. It's just like 9 minutes again, and this version, as opposed to squirrels, it is actually a choir of mice and as the main characters, and then there's like a deacon mouse who tells all the little like mouse choir boys like about men and like about the war that like killed them off, mm-hmm. and this one has more direct religious references. Like the Bible is still referred to as the Book of Humans, like just the book, but they also like include like references to like the New Testament, while the earlier film Peace on Earth only included verses from the Old Testament. Again, still the plot hole that they can read, but you know,
right?
They're also wearing clothes, so
that's what I keep
and
saying.
Survived a nuclear fallout apparently, but whatever.
I don't know, I have so many questions.
Yeah, the 1955 like, version does have nuclear bombs basically, and like that's what kills the men, and then the animals survive somehow.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like, how did you guys survive?
I mean, it's a kid's film with animals, so
yeah,
who knows? It's like, sense. Why does Mickey Mouse talk and wear clothes? I don't know.
Exactly.
The new version was also animated for an Oscar. It was animated for Best Animated. It was nominated for Best Animated Short Subject. Again, you can watch it on YouTube. It's short.
Okay.
Both films are very heavy in biblical references and have a very like clear message of, I mean, peace on earth, obviously.
Right. Hence.
hence the name. And goodwill to men,
right.
Hence the title. They portray humans as unable to agree on anything and very, like, quick to start a fight over everything.
They're not wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they're like, people will fight over anything. Like, there's a scene in the 1939 version when they're talking about, like, oh, men, they would start a war over anything that came up. And it's, like, one of the examples is, like, a war was started between the vegetarians and the meat eaters. Like, they're just trying to say like people are petty, and
we
like,
are,
yeah, I mean, which we are. And the story encourages loving your neighbor, and it's in like a cute animated style. It's I believe it's directed by the same guy who did Tom and Jerry, and it looks very much like Tom and Jerry animation style.
Like Tom and Jerry,
yeah. It and like I really like the animation style in this.
Yeah, okay.
It's like painterly in a way.
Nice.
Like it looks like, as I said, kind of like how Snow White and Seven Dwarfs is like an older animation
style. Yeah,
you can really see all of the hand you work in that. It's all hand done.
Nice.
And there's really just like an overarching theme that like, which is kind of interesting. It's basically like trying to say like if we don't listen to like the rules of like, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, like rules from the Bible, then we're basically going to die in a dystopian war.
I feel like they're not wrong.
Yeah, and it's like encouraging everyone to love each other and to not fight.
Right.
Which I feel like is, you know, like kind of a lot of what the Christmas season is supposed to be about.
Right.
You know, I mean, obviously there are more direct like religious references of what Christmas is about.
Uh-huh.
But I feel like they're also trying to say it's about loving each other. And it like really stuck with me as a kid. Like I definitely still remember scenes from it. And I don't know. I think if you're interested in like older cartoons and you're into that type of art, it would be really interesting to do, and interesting probably for like a school project or something.
Right. Yeah. Something different. I've never even heard of this film.
Yeah. And it was weird just looking up Christmas films. I just like randomly remembered it. Like that's how poignant it was for me.
Wow. Yeah.
Is it just like stuck out? So I'm a pretty big fan. I think you should check it out. It's really short. It's on the internet. You just type it in.
9 minutes isn't that long.
Yeah, it's not long. If you type in Peace on Earth, or if you type in like animated Goodwill to Men, it will come up. So yeah, I really enjoy the category of children's Christmas films. They're the ones that I remember the most.
Yeah.
There is a category though that I've never really gone into before. So there is the funny category, which has like Elf, which I love so much. That is probably my favorite one. There's also other movies in that category like Bad Santa, Scrooged, Four Christmases, mm-hmm. Christmas with the Cranks, and then National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, which is I feel like for many families, that's just a tradition of always watching.
Right. Yeah.
There's also
National Lampoon's anything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. People like love that type of series, which I understand. I think it is very funny.
Right.
There's also a strange Netflix movie that I watched a few years ago called A Very Murray Christmas with Bill Murray.
Okay.
It is funny in a very strange way.
Yeah. Well, Bill Murray.
Yeah,
of course.
It's basically if Bill Murray is just like, oh, you can direct a film for yourself on Netflix. And he said, great.
Okay.
And he's just, he's very like, I don't like, he's not talkative. He's a very like deadpan, and he's trying to put on a Christmas special, and then like the power goes out and no one wants to show up because it's a snowstorm. It's like,
it sounds horrible.
Yeah, he's kind of like a Scrooge type character where he's like, everything is just useless and no one cares about me and I don't even want to do this Christmas special.
Right.
It's kind of weird. But if you like Bill Murray, you'll probably like this film.
Right. I just recently watched Four Christmases. My sister made me watch it. I've never even heard of it. She's like, have you seen that one? I was like, no. And so she described it to me and I was like, why would I watch that? And then I watched it and I was like, this is hilarious. Probably something I would do.
Who was in that film again?
Reese Witherspoon and the tall dude.
Vince Vaughn?
Yes, Vince Vaughn.
Okay, and did you like Four Christmases?
I did, just because it reminded me of things that I would probably do. Like if I was in a couple, like a relationship like Vince Vaughn and Reese Witherspoon.
I actually have not seen it.
Well, what happens is every year, they've been together for, a lot of years. No, it's 3 years. And they always tell their families on Christmas that they're going to help some charity and helping some kids or some families that don't have enough or whatever. And then they use that time to go on vacation.
Oh,
so they don't have to visit the families. And there's four because each of their parents are separated.
Oh, okay.
Or have started a new family. So they have to go to the dad, both of the dads and both of the moms.
Oh, yeah.
And anyway, they're about to leave and their flight gets canceled because of the weather or whatever. I think it's San Francisco, like fog.
All the fog, yeah.
Yeah, and so they have to go because they end up on the news and they're like, oh, what are you going to do? Because your flight got canceled. The news just goes right into their face. And they're like, oh. And then after that, their families just start hitting them up. Like, we saw that your flight got canceled, so are you going to come? And now this year they have to go to all of them, and it's just, like, horrible. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. I would have told my family I'm leaving, too. And they're, like, all dressed in gear to go to Fiji. So funny.
Oh, my gosh. But yeah, that sounds funny.
Their families are hilarious. But I would probably just be like, yeah, tell your family we're doing this because I don't want to go.
Tell them we're going to the other family.
Exactly. You tell them we're going to my family. I'll tell my family we're going to your family, and then we'll just leave.
I think I really enjoy the funny category of Christmas films. I don't know. That's just...
I mean, as a kid,
obviously, I liked kids' films. But now as an adult, if I'm going to watch a Christmas film, I enjoy a funny one.
Right. I hear you. Yeah. I don't... I never really liked... So I saw previews for Bad Santa, and I was just like, I don't want to watch that.
Yeah, fair. That's fair.
So things like that, though, I would rather not. If it's hilarious, like Elf is obviously hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that one, too.
Yeah.
Probably not my favorite. I don't think I have a favorite. That's not fair.
Yeah, that's okay.
Whatever. Moving on.
Yeah. So I really enjoy the funny category. There's, as I said, there's the heartwarming and cheesy. I had never really seen many Hallmark films. I went on Netflix and I watched Christmas Inheritance, which is a 2017 Christmas film. Basically, I'm going to say I watched it so that you don't have to.
Yeah.
I'm not a big Hallmark movie fan because of the, you know, predictable plots.
Yeah, they're all the same.
They're all kind of the same. Sort of like, I would say, sort of one-dimensional romance. But some people love these and are diehard Hallmark fans.
Right. And it's not just like the romance. It's either the romance and it just makes everything perfect, or a family situation that they have to get through, and then it's all like heartwarming because it works out. But they're all super predictable, and I don't like that. It's like the all the Tyler Perry movies. I used to like his when he first came out, and then I started watching the rest of them. I'm like, these are all the same.
Yeah,
like, you're giving the same message just in different form. That's what I feel like the Hallmark movies are.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, there is a predictability in the film Christmas Inheritance. As I said, it's on Netflix. It's basically about a New York heiress, Ellen Langford, and she wants to inherit her father's gift business. But to do so, she has to deliver a special Christmas card to her dad's former business partner, who lives in this small town called Snow Falls, which is apparently like the hometown that she never really knew because they moved away when she was young. And then a snowstorm comes in and strands her at the town's inn, and she has to work there to earn her keep. In the process, she finds romance with the innkeeper and local artist Jake, and she essentially just discovers the true gift of Christmas and true love.
Yeah, okay.
That's like a Hallmark film.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So I would say, if you're looking for a Hallmark film, and maybe you can't, you know, you don't have cable or something,
right,
Netflix does have a fair amount of choices right now for that type of heartwarming, Christmassy film.
Yeah.
Yeah. And before we go on a break, I just want to, again, mention that, as I said, the holidays are coming up, and this would be a great time to get the gift of Audible for someone that you love or for yourself. Maybe you guys all enjoy watching Christmas films together, and now you can send them a gift of books for Christmas stories, other fiction for kids or for adults. Right now, there is a limited time offer. You can get 3 months of Audible for just $6.95 a month, which is more than half off the regular price. And you can get this deal by going to audible.com/GSMCmovie. Or you can text GSMC Movie to 500-500. And again, that is audible.com/GSMCmovie or text GSMC Movie to 500-500. We're going to take a break, and then we'll come right back and finish off our podcast about Christmas movies.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is 4-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Brought to you by Washington Target Zero.
Welcome back to the GSMC Movie Podcast. We are going to continue talking about Christmas films. Before the break, we mentioned the sort of Hallmark-ish Christmas film of Christmas Inheritance, which is on Netflix. And I want to go into our last category, which is like the action or other category. Really, the only reason I put action in here is so that I could include the movie Die Hard, which has the very Christmassy title of Die Hard.
Right.
Just to really ring in the Christmas season. But I enjoy this film. I think it's not really a Christmas movie for me. It is a movie that happens around Christmas time, mm-hmm. like takes place around Christmas time. And that's what makes it sort of like in the season. But if I need an excuse to watch this film, you know, Christmas is a good enough excuse for me.
Right, exactly.
I enjoy it. It is basically a film that is takes place in 1988. It is directed by John McTiernan, written by Stephen E. Souza and Jeb Stuart. It is a 20th Century Fox film, and basically it is about a off-duty New York cop whose name is John McClane, who is played by Bruce Willis.
Which he is not hard on the eyes at that age.
Oh, yeah, so. Yeah. It was good for him. And he is caught in a Los Angeles skyscraper during a heist, and the heist is led by the villain of the film, Hans Gruber, who is played by Alan Rickman. Mm-hmm. And I love both Bruce Willis and Alan Rickman in this film. I think Alan Rickman does great as a villain. I think he's a great villain, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He plays it very well. And of course, it is young Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
In the tank top,
yeah.
Running around in a skyscraper.
Exactly.
This is actually based off of a novel by Roderick Thorpe, which was written in 1979, called Nothing Lasts Forever. Apparently, Arnold Schwarzenegger had declined to be in this film, and instead he went into the sequel of his film, which was in 1985, the action film Commando.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, so he turned down this role to be in Commando.
Big mistake.
Yeah. And then Fox didn't want to give the role to Bruce Willis because at the time he wasn't well known. He was kind of just thought of as like a comedic television actor.
Right.
So but they reluctantly gave it to him.
Yeah, but this definitely blew up his action kind
of.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, he did. He does a good job.
Yeah. And this really, as you said, it really made his career and it cemented him as an action film,
right.
You know, hero.
Yeah.
For sure. I also would say this film started a lot of like action film tropes, kind of like the lone hero fighting like overwhelming odds.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, also to mention... at the time, Bruce Willis, like, his physique, he is very muscular and very strong.
Right.
And that was like, oh my gosh, like, he's so fit.
Right.
But I would say now it's like, he's not like The Rock.
No, he's not.
You know? But at the time, he was, like, super ripped.
Right.
Which is crazy to think about. Now I look at, like, you know, The Rock, and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis was tiny.
Yeah. Well, The Rock, I feel like, is, there's such thing as too big, guys. So if you're, like, the size of The Rock, then it's just like, hey, for why?
Yeah, you can't even fit in the doorway.
Right, like, seriously. But he's a big person anyway.
Yes,
so
yes,
I,
for
it
sure.
It kind of fits him
yeah.
somewhat.
Yeah.
But Bruce Willis was a good size for his size. Like I don't feel like Bruce Willis is a very tall man. So, I mean, his body like fit his, like the visual was nice.
I agree. And I also think... like the Die Hard franchise was successful. Like there's like Die Harder.
Yeah.
Which is like the next film.
Die Hard with a Vengeance with Samuel L. Jackson. That one was hilarious.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
The riddles in that had me dying laughing.
Oh gosh.
I was like, really? You're playing a kid's game.
Yeah. It was very successful.
Yeah.
And even did like, there were video games, comic books, so much.
Yeah.
I would say one of the reasons I think this film is so successful is because it's a very smart action film.
Right.
Like you need to pay attention to details. For instance, like in the film, Bruce Willis's character, John McClane, his wife changes her last name because they're kind of going through like a rough patch in their
right.
marriage. And she changes it to her maiden name when she's working in the company.
Yeah.
Which is the skyscraper that he's trapped in is the skyscraper belonging to his wife's company. Mm. And she changes her name back to her maiden name on like her door and everything and on her desk.
Yeah.
And that's important to like pay attention to, or like the pictures on her desk and what she does with them.
Right.
Like it's important to pay attention to all of those details. It's not really a film I feel like you can just walk in and out of. Or like how in some films you just kind of can predict the end.
Right, exactly. And it's also like you can't really watch the other ones without watching the first one, I feel like. Because it's like, mm-hmm. oh, you have to know what happened in that one because that's why this person is after him for this reason. And I like the Die Hard movies.
Yeah. I feel like it's like a smart action series.
Yeah.
Well, I've only seen the first one. But I
the
think
the other ones
this...
are good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
You know when they make like movies and there's like a sequel and then there's like they just keep going? They stopped at a good point and it was just as good as the first one.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like a letdown like some sequels. It's like, really? Why'd you have to do that?
There you go. So. Ariane's recommendation.
Yeah.
Also, I would say a lot of the parts of this film have become like iconic like action film stereotypes, like European bad guys. Or like the idea of like 1980s, like long hair, European henchmen.
Yeah.
You know, like stereotypes that I kind of connect to action films and films in the 80s. Like his wife, her perm.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh. Like that's a whole nother character.
It really is.
Her also,
hair is a character.
The perm is huge. It's very impressive.
Yeah.
There's also just like, as I said before, I think that Alan Rickman plays a great villain.
Yeah, he
does. He is smart, well-spoken. He's kind of like the smart guy amongst, like, kind of dumber henchmen. It's kind of like that trope.
Yeah.
And he's, like, he is able to predict everything that the police are going to do.
Yeah.
And he even, like, I would say his plan is pretty good.
Yeah, he's
you know?
Smart.
I think he would have done well. He also has some great lines about like being American. One of his lines is like talking to Bruce Willis, like, oh, are you just another orphan of a bankrupt culture? Like,
yeah.
Talking about like, oh, you just want to, you've seen a few too many action films and you just want to be the hero.
Right, exactly.
You know? And he has such a disdain for like John McClane and right. like underestimates him all the time.
It's hilarious though too, is because with him being like the stereotype villain, he definitely makes John McClane the stereotype American cop.
Yes, definitely.
So he flips it. It's great.
Definitely. And I think that's so funny. He has the best voice for being a villain.
I was just gonna say
the
that.
Best
was,
voice.
Yes.
So good. Also, there are some details that are just iconic, like the fact that John McClane is barefoot. Which yeah. from the very beginning, you see that he has weakness. Like, he's scared to fly a plane. And he is barefoot for the action part of the film
yeah.
and the whole heist. And so that's a built-in weakness for the character. And I feel like that just makes it more interesting, because there's like things that happen that he gets hurt
yeah.
in ways that, because he's barefoot, it's like so visceral. You can
right.
like feel his pain.
Exactly. Ugh. And if you're like a person with sensitive feet, you'll get into it. It just makes
yeah.
you cringe.
Oh, I watched that and oof, yeah. my like toes curled.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was the same way.
Yeah. And I also would say there are a lot of details about him that are not necessarily tragic, but show like his weakness, and like him and his wife are in a bad patch in their marriage, and he feels like he kind of goes from sort of being a jerk, but then there are scenes when he's like, oh, that was such a dumb thing for me to say.
Right.
I shouldn't have, that was immature for me to say to my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Or he then feels guilty and how he should have said that he was sorry to her and been more supportive.
Exactly. Yeah.
And
his
he really sees
his good.
Sensitivity.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he does that well. Also, there are so many lines from Bruce Willis. I would say there are a lot of swear words in this movie.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So if you don't want your kids to hear right. the F word, you know,
don't
probably
watch it
with
them.
The best film.
Right.
I mean, the classic like yippee-ki-yay mother effer,
yeah.
you know, so classic.
Yep.
And also, as I said, it's kind of a Christmas film. It takes place during Christmas. But if you're the kind of person who doesn't want to watch A Christmas Story like another time, or doesn't want to watch Elf again.
Right.
I would say this is a good film that's Christmas-ish.
Right, exactly.
Perfect if you have older kids who are like, oh, no, you know, not Rudolph again.
Exactly.
It's a great film for that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I also think, I also have to mention my favorite scene from this movie is, like, it just makes the SWAT team and the police look so bad. Like, there is a scene that I didn't notice in my first viewing. I had to watch it again to see it. When, like, the SWAT team are running through a garden of rose bushes.
Yeah.
And the SWAT, one SWAT guy, like, pricks himself on a thorn. He's like, oh, ouch. Like, as, like, SWAT team are running to storm
right.
a building. Like, so many tiny details that I think are very funny and very well done.
Yeah.
So I'm a fan of that. As I mentioned, some other, like, more, I would say, kind of alternative Christmas movies, like While You Were Sleeping, Love Actually, The Holiday, some great films to get you into the mood for the season.
Right.
So thank you guys so much for listening. I hope that you all have a wonderful holiday, and I hope that you tune in next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.